All right. Good afternoon. Apologies for being late, though not that late. Starting off with a wrap-up on Ebola. This afternoon, as you know, the Secretary General will ask the General Assembly for its support in the fight against Ebola. Yesterday, he confirmed that the response to Ebola would require $1 billion over the next 6 months. He also announced the establishment of a new UN emergency health mission, combining the World Health Organization's strategic perspective with a very strong logistics and operational capacity. The international mission, to be known as the UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response, UNMEER, will have five priorities: stopping the outbreak, treating the infected, ensuring essential services, preserving stability, and preventing further outbreaks. We will share more details about the UN mission as soon as possible, and we should have a fact sheet for you available in my office shortly, if not already. In his speech to the Council, the Secretary General also stressed that the disease is destroying health systems in affected country, and that more people are now dying in Liberia from treatable ailments and common medical conditions than from Ebola itself. To date, 318 workers are known to have developed the disease, and almost half of them have died as a result, and these are health workers. The gravity of the situation is compounded by the fact that even before the current crisis, Liberia had just 51 medical doctors to serve a population of 3.7 million people, and that Sierra Leone had one of the lowest numbers of health workers per capita in the world. Next Thursday, on the 25th of September, the Secretary General is convening a high-level meeting on Ebola that will bring together global leaders to take stock of where we are in the fight against the virus. And for the record, with 134 co-sponsors, the resolution that was adopted yesterday by the Security Council had the highest number ever of co-sponsors in the Security Council's history. That's 134 co-sponsors. Turning over to Mali, on Mali, as you know, the attack yesterday in the Kidal region, which killed five Chadian peacekeepers serving in the UN mission in that country and injured three others when their vehicle was hit by an explosive device. Just to let you know that the wounded peacekeepers have now been evacuated by helicopter and are now at the UN mission's Chinese hospital in Gao. And as you saw, the Secretary General expressed his outrage in a statement we issued early this morning. He also called on armed groups meeting in Algiers to take immediate action on their declaration to collaborate with the UN mission to prevent these attacks. And he said that these continued assaults against the UN must cease immediately. The latest attack brings the total number of peacekeepers killed in incidents by explosive devices in Mali to 21 and 84 wounded peacekeepers since the beginning of the mission on July 1st of 2013. The total number of peacekeepers killed is up now to 31 and gravely wounded 106 in that mission. The Security Council also issued a press statement this morning condemning the attack. And yesterday, as you saw, we also issued a statement after the briefing welcoming the peaceful conduct of the parliamentary elections in Fiji on September 17th, which the Secretary General commended the people of Fiji for exercising their constitutional right to vote. Back here this morning, the Security Council is currently meeting on Ukraine, discussing the crash of Malaysian Airline Flight 17. Undersecretary General for Political Affairs Jeffrey Feltman told the Council the ceasefire in southeastern Ukraine is holding so far and contributed to a marked de-escalation on the ground. But he said the conditions are still not conducive for investigators to have full and unfettered access to the site. Mr. Feltman said the Secretary General once again calls on all those with influence on the situation to exert it immediately so as to create a positive security environment for investigators. He added that winter will soon arrive in Ukraine and will make access to that site even more difficult. The meeting on Ukraine is to be followed by a meeting on UNDOF, and this afternoon the Security Council will be holding a ministerial-level meeting on Iraq, chaired by the U.S. Secretary of State. As you know, the U.S. presides over the Council this month. The Secretary General's Special Representative, Nikolai Mladenov, as well as the new Iraqi Foreign Minister, Ibrahim al-Jafari, are also scheduled to brief Council members. Also on Iraq, our humanitarian colleagues say that the Iraqi Ministry of Health, with the support of the World Health Organization, and the UN's Children's Fund have successfully concluded a mass polio immunization campaign on Thursday, immunizing millions of children across the country. The five-day campaign was conducted between September 14th and 18th. Thank you. The immunization campaign is part of an ongoing national response at a time where the number of children displaced by conflict continues to increase. Also, a new report released on Thursday by a consortium of UN agencies, NGOs, and media development organizations highlights the importance of access to information for Iraqi communities and their ability to cope with the humanitarian crisis in Iraq. The report follows a rapid assessment of information and communications needed, carried out in northern Iraq in August. Its findings reveal that displaced Iraqis often have only limited access to information regarding the provision of and access to basic services. The report also calls on aid agencies to strengthen their information sharing and their ability to listen to those affected. From Yemen, the special advisor of the Secretary General for Yemen, Jamal Ben Omar, reiterated the need to cease all violent acts immediately in the country and expressed the hope that the relevant parties would exercise restraint and act in a manner that achieves the highest national interest of Yemen. And we have Mr. Ben Omar's statement in my office. From Geneva, in their press briefing today, the World Health Organization provided further details about an incident during a recent measles vaccination campaign in Syria. Information collected by a three-member WHO team indicated that human error was behind the deaths of 15 children during a vaccination campaign in Idlib in northern Syria on September 16th. A diluent that was to be used with the measles vaccine had been kept in a fridge with a muscle relaxant, which was normally used for anesthesia. WHO says the biggest challenge is now to continue the investigation. The measles task force on the ground, the NGO running the campaign, had immediately suspended the vaccination campaign, but it remains important to continue immunization as soon as it is possible and to rebuild trust with the community. The High Commissioner for Human Rights today urged Egypt and other North African states, as well as European countries, to bring to justice those smugglers who allegedly deliberately sank a boat, causing the deaths of between 300 and 500 refugees and migrants in the Mediterranean last week. Calling this a truly horrendous incident, Zayed Raad al-Hussein stressed that it was crucial to bring to an end the prevailing impunity surrounding such crimes. He urged states to do more to address the root causes driving people to make such dangerous journeys. The High Commissioner said all the countries in the Mediterranean must now make a concerted effort to clamp down on the smugglers who are exploiting one of the most vulnerable groups on the planet and endangering their lives purely for financial gain. More information on the website of the High Commissioner. Also from the Human Rights Office, today they issued a statement welcoming the conditional release of Bahraini human rights defender Maryam Al-Khawaja, who had been in detention since her arrest at the Manama airport in late August. The office will be closely watching the results of the judicial hearing of her case, which is scheduled to take place in the High Court of Bahrain on October 1st. Human Rights Office is concerned that Ms. Khawaja's detention was related to her work to promote human rights in Bahrain through the Gulf Center for Human Rights, of which she is co-director. The UN Human Rights Office has been in touch with the authorities to raise its concern on the case and other cases where individuals may have been detained for the peaceful exercises of their rights. This weekend will be busier than usual for the Secretary General. I just want to flag a couple of events he's going to attend. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. here at headquarters, there will be an event for the He for She campaign with British actress and UN Goodwill Ambassador Emma Watson. Over the next 12 months, the He for She campaign intends to mobilize 1 billion men against inequalities faced by women and girls around the world. The campaign's premise is that gender inequality is not a woman's issue, but an issue that affects everyone, and that achieving equality will benefit both men and women. As the Secretary General himself told you earlier this week, he will also take part in the People's Climate March this Sunday. He will link arms with those marching for climate action, standing with them on the right side of the key issue for our common future. Press conferences today, following my briefing, we will welcome back Jean-Victor Nkolo as the spokesman for the General Assembly President. And then immediately following that, there'll be a briefing by Santiago Villalpando, chief of the treaty section from the Office of Legal Affairs, and Masain Guy, deputy director of the Division of Environmental Law and Conventions at UNEP, and they will brief you on the 2014 treaty event and highlight the Minamata Convention on mercury. Also, tomorrow night, the buildings of the United Nations headquarters will serve as the screen for an event entitled Illuminations Protecting Our Planet. In support of the Secretary General's Climate Change Summit, large-scale images of planet Earth and its inhabitants will be projected on the facades of the Secretariat and General Assembly buildings from about 8 to 10 p.m., and you can watch that from the comfort of First Avenue. No surprise to you that next week will be busy. We have a week ahead, which is quite lengthy, which should be in my office shortly, if it's not already here. And sorry, it is in my office, available in hard copy, and it'll be up on the UN's, on the spokesman's website by the end of the day. And just to show you how busy you will be, Monday, just in terms of press conferences, 10 o'clock, press briefing by Alicia Barcena, Executive Director of the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, ECLAC, on the latest report of the state of the region's indigenous people. And that's linked, of course, to the Indigenous Peoples Forum Summit that's taking place here. At noon, the Executive Director of the UN Population Fund, Babatunde, will be here as my guest, and he'll be here to discuss the program of action of the International Conference on the Population and Development. And at 1 p.m., there will be a press conference on the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples that will be held by President Evo Morales of Bolivia, along with Ivan Simonovic, Assistant Secretary General for Human Rights, and Aili Kestitalo, President of the Sami Parliament. 2 p.m., there will be a press conference by the Foreign Minister of the Ukraine, Mr. Klimkin. 2:45, there will be a press conference by the International Parliamentary Union, World Conference on the Indigenous Peoples. 3 p.m., conference room 1, the Secretary General will deliver remarks at the Ad Hoc Liaison Committee on Palestine meeting. And at 6 p.m., there will be a related press briefing on that topic here by the Norwegian government. Prepare your questions. Not for me, but for next week. All right. Mr. Lee.
Sure. Thanks, Stefan. I wanted to ask about the Golan Heights and UNDOF. It's seems that the Philippines have actually already started flying their troops back, and they say that by very shortly their full contingent will be pulled out of the mission. And the Irish defense minister has said there are serious questions about rotating in more troops. Mm-hmm. So what's the plan? I mean, in terms of are other countries being asked to fill in for these? Is it on hiatus? And just – I know that you'd said yesterday that you would be – there'd be no noon briefings this week.
Okay.
And now I see one Monday.
Yeah, it was my I was just – I was taking my dreams for reality.
Okay.
So we will brief on Monday. We will not brief on Tuesday because, as you'll see in the week ahead, the Secretary General will be giving a press conference related to climate change between 11:30 and 12 in conference room 4. And on Wednesday, we will not be doing a press briefing because of the opening of the GA. If anybody has any questions, they can come into my office. They can email them. But I think there's enough going on that I can take – a step out for that one day.
What about the goal?
You did have a question. I've seen the reports. I expect an update from DPKO very shortly on the numbers.
And is there any status of the investigation of either the order to surrender? You'd say that once they were released, there'd be kind of an inquiry.
You know, I think the situation remains quite tense on the Golan. I think is we need to get kind of past the current events, and then after event investigation will be conducted. Masood.
I know this has been asked question. When either United States or France tried attack inside Syria, besides the fact that they've got permission from Iraqi government to attack ISIS inside Iraq, that's okay. But what about Syria? Will that require a Security Council resolution? I know you have been asked that again and again. So now, what does the Secretary General think? Does it require a Security Council resolution or not?
I think what the Secretary General
has said
that he would hope there is a broad coalition. This is an issue that cannot be dealt with by one member state, and that it would be conducted within the broad parameters of international law. What is also critical is that whatever operation may take place, and we haven't seen anything yet, and so I don't want to speculate, but whatever military action is taken needs to be in full respect of international humanitarian law and have a focus on the protection of civilians. Mr. Klein.
Yes, on Mali, given the alarmingly increasing rate of deaths of peacekeepers in the Mali operation, is any thought being given to sort of replicating in Mali the model that's now being used in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, an enhanced force, use of drones for surveillance, so that perhaps such incidents can be reduced, if not eliminated?
You know, the mission has enhanced surveillance capacity in terms of unmanned aerial aircraft. What, you know, the focus is obviously on protecting, we need to protect our peacekeepers, but there also needs to be a renewed effort on the political front, as I mentioned, the talks in Algiers, and a commitment from the opposition groups to work and support the UN mission. I would not want to compare the situation in Mali with the situation in the DRC. I think they're two separate conditions on the ground militarily, and will need to be dealt with in different ways. Mr. Carpenter.
If the deaths of the Syrian children from the vaccinations was caused by human error, what is the United Nations going to do to take responsibility for this UN, for this human error?
Right. I think, as I mentioned, the World Health Organization is continuing its the investigation into this very tragic incident. The lab and whether to mix up what I'm saying is that what the World Health Organization knows at this point is that the exact person or group responsible for the lab is not yet known. But the campaign on the ground was carried out by an NGO called the Measles Task Force of Syria. What happens in these vaccination campaigns, which are critical, and I think what is also, I think, rather amazing is that they're often done in conflict areas in times of war. World Health Organization, UNICEF, uses a lot of local NGOs who have the access and the know-how to communities. So this happens to happen in one of the NGOs, one of its partner NGOs. The World Health Organization said they will continue to look at this tragic incident, but they need to now focus on rebuilding the trust of the community so the campaign can go on. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Stefan. Do you know when Mr. De Mistura will be here and if he's going to brief us?
He'll be here next week. Let me see what his schedule is. The young lady right there, you've been very patient.
Could you please give us some more information about the SG's plans for the People's Climate March? Will he be marching the whole route, and is he going to
make a statement? He'll be marching part of the route. You should be in touch with the march organizers to in order to get the press access. It's not an access we control, but he will be marching part of the route, and he will be joined by Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City. Iftikhar. Your microphone, please, sir.
On Wednesday, Mr. Kubesh, the UN envoy in Afghanistan, gave 2 days to the two presidential candidates to form a unity government. 2 days have passed, but you have not given any news about the progress. Or wasn't today the day for the announcement of UN-audited results of the election?
I haven't received an update from our colleagues in Afghanistan, but we'll call them after the briefing to see if there's anything for them to add. Yes, ma'am. Your microphone, please. There you go.
Sorry. Are you going to be releasing a more detailed schedule of the press briefings that are going to go on during the climate
summit?
Yes,
there will be more press briefings than you can ever imagine. And it'll be, if you go to my office right down the hall in the week, there'll be a week ahead with not only the press briefings, but all the other events that will be taking place.
Great.
Mr. Lee.
Sure. I want to ask about the Ebola mission, but first, just one thing on Stefan de Mistura. He seems to show up on the DSG schedule today. So I don't mean to, maybe, is that accurate? Is he in town?
You obviously are more careful. He may very well be in town, I frankly.
No, not to.
I know.
I actually want to ask more. Is he going to be based in Geneva or Brussels? Where is he going to be based? His
base is in Geneva.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And could I ask about Ebola? I just wanted to. Yeah. I understand that the Secretary of State is going to speak, but can you confirm that the base of this will be in Accra, Ghana? And can you just give a little more? Is in the GA, when will the. Will the Secretary General be seeking the funding for this mission?
I think, as he mentioned in his Security Council speech or in the letters that were sent to the GA President, we will be submitting a more detailed funding requirement to the GA very soon. The base will be in the region. As soon as we can announce something, we will. Masoud.
Given the fact that Saudi Arabia has said that it will provide like $500 million to rebuild Gaza, but has Israel agreed to allow all these shipments to come in because it has a stranglehold on all the Gaza crossing?
Masoud, as you will have seen last week or earlier this week, I can't even remember now, Robert Seri was here and he briefed the Security Council on the agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians and the Palestinian Authority to ensure the transit of goods, especially reconstruction goods, into Gaza. We very much hope that agreement will stand and will be facilitated by all parties so we can get down to the work of rebuilding Gaza with the generous donations from a number of member states. Yes, sir. If you don't mind... Sylviane's been very patient.
No, that's fine.
Go ahead.
On the climate change, do you know if Mr. Michael Bloomberg will be here? Is he invited?
Yes, he will be here.
And another thing, can we have some figures on the financing of this summit and since it started?
The financing of
climate change.
You mean the financing of climate action or the cost of the summit?
The cost of the climate action since the beginning of its inception.
Okay.
I heard like 500 billion.
Okay. We'll see what we can get for
need
you.
To figure out.
Yes, sir.
The newly appointed SRSG to Libya, Mr. Bernard Leon, had made a tour in Libya recently and have brought some important points to the Security Council. There will be any further actions taken soon?
I think Mr. Leon will continue his work and travel return to Libya as soon as possible. And as we get updates from the mission, we'll share them with you. Go ahead.
Any reaction to the referendum results in Scotland? Thank you.
Yes, of course. We've taken note of the results of the referendum in Scotland and also the statements by the United Kingdom authorities and political leaders following the announcement of the results are a testament to the strong democratic traditions in the United Kingdom. All discussions on the level and nature of the allocation of powers within the United Kingdom remains a matter for the United Kingdom. Anne?
Yes. With the World Conference on Tatars in Ukraine who are expected to attend.
We'll get you an update from our colleagues who do the secretariat for the indigenous peoples and how you can contact them. Matthew, and then we have to leave it to Jean-Victor.
Sure. I just want to ask now, yesterday it was the House, now the Senate, so that makes it a law, has passed this legislation in the U.S. to not only train but also arm and equip moderate rebels in Syria. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, since you seem to say that the Secretary General believes that more weapons in Syria even vetted, even trained, is not the solution. Is this something he intends to raise to President Obama? What can you say now that the law is passed, will be signed? And
I mean,
again?
I think the Secretary General's position is unchanged. Obviously, Syria, no doubt, will be on the agenda for the bilateral meeting. Jean-Victor, all yours, and then I'll come back as soon as Jean-Victor is done with the legal office.
Bon après-midi, good afternoon to all. My name is Jean-Victor Nkolo, and I will soon be introducing Fanny Langella, the deputy spokesperson. Vous êtes les bienvenus, et vous pouvez poser des questions en français si vous le désirez. I will start with this afternoon's plenary meeting of the General Assembly, which has been convened by the president of the 69th session, His Excellency Mr. Sam Kutesa. The meeting, which comes on the agenda item 124 on global health and foreign policy, takes place one day, as Stefan said, after the unanimous adoption by the Security Council of Resolution 2176, calling on all nations to take a quick action and provide urgent assistance to those affected by the current Ebola outbreak. Ahead of the plenary meeting and in light of the urgency of the situation and the need for timely action, President Kutesa urged all member states to adopt a General Assembly resolution that will be fully supportive of ongoing efforts and that will send a strong message of unity of the General Assembly to effectively address this crisis and of its solidarity with the peoples of the affected countries. If adopted later today, the resolution submitted by the President of the General Assembly, which is titled Measures to Contain and Combat the Recent Ebola Outbreak in West Africa, that resolution would, among other things, welcome the Secretary General's intention to establish a UN mission, request the Secretary General to take such measures as may be necessary for the prompt execution of his intention, and to submit a detailed report thereon for consideration by the General Assembly during the 69th session, and call on all member states, relevant United Nations bodies and United Nations system to provide their full support to the mission. For all of you, I'd just like to add that the President of the General Assembly will hold a media stakeout immediately after this plenary session. The session starts at 3 p.m. New York time, and we don't know whether it will be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or maybe an hour, but immediately after, he will hold, by the General Assembly entrance, a media stakeout. We will provide further detail after this press briefing, or you can come to our office later if you want more information. Now, I would also like to add that this week, as soon as he assumed office earlier this week, the president has always been very busy meeting with the General Committee with the adoption of the agenda and the program of work for the 69th session. I have something for you. I think a question was raised earlier on the indigenous people, the World Conference on Indigenous People. And I'd just like to add that member states have agreed on the draft outcome for the conference. All arrangements and preparations are in place. Three heads of state and government will speak on the occasion of the World Conference. Before the event opens, we will share with you additional details and information. And it's Fanny who covers this event, and she will be more than happy to receive your queries, if any, by email. Fanny, will you please join me to this podium? It is my privilege and honor to share this podium not only with Stefan Dujarric, the spokesperson for the Secretary General, but also with Ms. Fanny Langella, who will be, as of now, the deputy spokesperson for the President of the General Assembly. By the way, she also serves as the deputy speech writer for the PGA. So, Fanny, can you please maybe give our colleagues the details where our office is, if they want to visit us, and we'll also provide more detail on all our telephone and email contacts. Fanny.
Good afternoon, bonjour. My name is Fanny Langella. I will be working this year closely with Jean-Victor. Our office is just around the corner by the offices of MALU in S02-44 and 45. So please feel free to reach out with any questions. Thank you.
Very much so. So we like to do this as a team. I'll be teaming with Fanny. Fanny will be teaming with me. So if you have a query, you cannot reach me, please reach Fanny or send us an email, both of us. And all our contact details will be provided online. And I would like to take this opportunity to very much welcome the 15 journalists of the 2014 Riham Al-Farah Memorial Journalist Fellowship Program. It's a wonderful program by the Department of Public Information, and you are all welcome here. Shukran Kabir for being here. Now, if you have a question or two, yes, sure. Matthew.
Thanks a lot for congratulations on getting the post, both of you, and looking forward to a lot of questions answered. I wanted to ask, does the President of the General Assembly have some idea of when the budgetary request for the new Ebola mission will be submitted? Will it go through a regular Fifth Committee process or go straight to the GA? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, I invite you, Matthew, to come today immediately after the plenary session. I think that would be a good question to ask the President himself. He will hold the stakeout minutes after the session.
Then let me ask you something that I'd rather ask you than him.
Sure.
Which is that I'm looking at the team of the team of the PGA's team, and I just with all just to get things going on the right footing, is it possible to know, not right now but maybe in writing, which of these posts are funded from the UN budget, which are people seconded by missions, just to know who's who and how it's how it will work.
Fair enough. I don't think the team is fully set yet. Mm-hmm. And when this is done, we will surely come to you and we'll provide the list and who does what and who is funded and who is not from the regular budget. We will do that.
Okay.
No problem. Yes, Masoud.
Good to see you back. Just wanted to ask you, I probably missed it, this stakeout that is going to be held today, at what time, where? Outside the General Assembly?
Yes. We believe that, thank you for your welcome to start with. We believe that the stakeout will take place around 4 or 4:30, immediately after the session concludes. It will take place at the General Assembly, probably by the escalators when you go down. But we will have those details and we will let you know very quickly before the session starts exactly where it will take place. On the when, we are not sure, simply because we don't know how long the session will last. Yes, Ikita.
Welcome back. Has the General Committee met to allocate agenda items?
Yes, indeed, Ikita. The agenda has been adopted and the program of work. Yes. We will come back on that very specific question. The adoption is very fresh, and we hope to find the answer for you today. Thank you so much. Any other question? Otherwise, I wish...
Basically,
yes,
nothing has not been set on Security Council, debate on Security Council reforms. It's not been set as yet, the date.
I think...
Why the deliberation is taking so long?
Masoud, as you know better than me, the Security Council reform is an ongoing and challenging
process.
But the date
has not been set, is what you're saying.
I think I cannot answer that question right now. I would like to go back to the book and to the small print and check, and I would like to give you a response that is authoritative. So give me some time, and I'll come back to you on that.
Thank you, Victor.
For sure. Thank you very much. You have a question? No? And bon après-midi à tous, and see you next time. Bye-bye for now.
I just have a answer to a question on UNDOF. So I just want to read that into the record, and it's my bad because I was not prepared. On the departure of the Filipino troops, I can confirm that on September 18th, that is yesterday, 244 members of the Philippine contingent departed for Manila. In terms of replacements, in view of recent developments on the ground, UNDOF and DPKO in the coming weeks will be working to consider how the force will be configured to ensure that UNDOF continues to use its best efforts to implement its mandate. And how many just to give you an update on how many troops we have in UNDOF, as of yesterday, we had 1,027 troops, including 445 from Fiji, 191 from India, 155 from Nepal, 134 from Ireland, 100 from the Philippines, and 2 from the Netherlands. So if I, that's the update. If I can ask you to stay, our colleagues from the Office of Legal Affairs
will be here,
but I will be happy to entertain.
Well, this is just a follow-up.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any more information you can share with us on what happened to the equipment, vehicles, uniforms, et cetera? We know they were left behind, but do we? Was there any ability to trace where they ended up?
The short answer is no. We've seen the reports of UN equipment being used by armed groups, which is of great concern to us. When we secured the release of our Fijian colleagues, they were returned. The equipment was not. Okay. Thank you. And our OLA colleagues will be here. So.